Let us pray. Father, Emmanuel, God with us, we call upon You, Lord, and we seek You out now. May You be with us here today. May You transform our hearts. May You direct our lives. May we be obedient to Your call. And may all that is spoken, all that is sung, all that is offered this day be to Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Two questions, once again, the fourth week we've looked at that. Who is Jesus, and what did He come for? Now, who would have ever thought that I could get four sermons out of two simple questions that was posed to me by one of Renee's co-workers? But, being the preacher that I am, I managed to do it. And today, we look at the fourth answer, or set of answers, to those questions. During this Advent season, it's a perfect time to ponder that. As we experience and as we read about and we hear about Jesus, this infant, this babe born in a manger, we just have to ask that question, how can this insignificant child in the scope of all history and all, just one more child being born in one more poverty-stricken situation, how can this change us? How can this influence and affect us? So far, we've answered the who part by affirming that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. We've answered that the reason He came was by being a prophet, He came bringing us God's Word, revealing the truth of who God is. As priest, He came offering that perfect sacrifice once and for all that no human, no earthly priest could offer. And finally, as King, He came to rule, to provide and protect, and also to bring judgment upon us. But even with 3 weeks' worth of answers about who Jesus is and why He came, these three answers, these answers in and of themselves still leave us with an incomplete answer and picture of who Jesus really is. You see, so far we've answered Jesus, we've answered who Jesus is, and answered the question in the sense that He is more than we are. He is divine. He is something that we could never be. And that's true. Jesus is God. I believe that. The Scriptures affirm that. But that, in and alone, Jesus as divine, leaves us at a distance from God. Because who of us, which one of us, sinners that we all are, can stand before a holy God? The truth is that none of us can stand there. So who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And the fourth answer is, Jesus is our friend. What did He come for? He came so that you and me, so that we all might have a personal relationship with the Father. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So what did Jesus come for? He came so that we might have a relationship with God. What does it mean to be a friend? You know, there's really only one thing, one requirement, one prerequisite to having a friendship with someone. And that is that there be a relationship between the two. You know, I can be nice to you. I can give generously when you need something. You can pray for me. We can pray for each other. You can offer me all the respect in the world. We can be each other's neighbor. We can be friendly and still not be friends. Because you see, to be a friend, you have to have a relationship. And relationships come with the investment of time, the building of trust, and the practice of tolerance. So how do you know if someone is your friend or not? How do we know that Jesus is our friend? First of all, you know that someone is a friend because a friend is someone that you can confide in. You know, we all need somebody to whom we can talk to. Husbands can talk to wives. Wives can talk to husbands, hopefully. Hopefully we're friends in our marital relationships. But yet there's still friendships that we develop that just somebody that has so much in common with us, a particular hobby or interest outside of our daily lives, work, all of those things, and we can just seem like somebody you can just confide in. We've all had those kind of friends. You may have went to college with them, grew up in school with them. Somebody that you can just talk to and you can tell what's going on and you don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to pass any kind of judgment on you for what you've said. Somebody that you can just be yourself with. You can confide in Jesus, folks. Jesus is there for you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There is no burden that our friend Jesus cannot deal with. There is nothing that we have to fear. There is nothing that we have to hold back from. There is nothing that Jesus is not willing to take with Him and bear. He is there to bear our burdens. We know that someone is a friend when we can confide in them and we can confide in Jesus. Also, a friend is someone who shares. Have you ever had a friend that you just knew that whatever was theirs was yours if you needed it? We've all had friends like that, I'm sure. You don't even have to call and say, "Can I borrow that trailer?" Or, "Can I borrow that lawnmower?" Or, "Can I borrow that chainsaw?" We usually do it out of common courtesy. But we know that when we ask, that it's ours. I've always had friends like that. When growing up as a young man, I had a friend of mine that we just swapped things back and forth like that all the time. Didn't have to ask, could we borrow it? Just got it, and if I saw it was gone, I knew who probably had it. If I didn't, I'd have to be calling the law soon because somebody had stole it. But we knew who each other. We just shared stuff like that. A friend is someone who you can share with. In the passage that I read to you just a moment ago from John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "For all things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus doesn't hold anything back from us. Everything that He has, everything that He has seen from the Father has been revealed to us. Jesus didn't hold anything back. We are able to know God the Father, stand before a righteous God because Jesus has shared it all with us. Third, a friend is someone who stands up for you. It's kind of the thing, it's kind of a brother thing as well, or a relative thing as well as friend there. You know, I might can talk about my family and what they're doing and what they're saying or anything like that, but doggone, you better not be talking about them because we'll be fighting then. That's the way it is among family and friends and brothers. You know, I can talk about my friend, what a knothead he is about something, but it better not nobody else talk about my friend. John 15:13, the verse that I gave the kids, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus is standing before the Father for you and for me. He laid down His life at Calvary for you and for me. A friend is someone who will stand up for you. Jesus has stood up for us, and He continues to stand. Fourth, a friend is someone who understands where we are, who we are, and he empathizes with us. You know, a good friend doesn't have to have all the answers for you. They don't have to solve all your problems. But a good friend is someone who will be there for you wherever you are and accept you and love you where you're at. Friends, true friend will get right down there in it with you where you're at. When Lazarus died, that's the brother of Mary and Martha, when he died, Jesus was affected by this friend's death. In John 11, 33 through 35, these things are said. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, talking about Mary and Martha, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and Jesus wept. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, he cared, he empathized with his friend's situation there. Jesus cares about you here today. He cares about the things that burden you, the worries that you have, the job situation that may be going on in your life, the grief that you experience, the depression that you may be encountering this time of year, the struggle in your family that may be going on. Jesus cares. He understands. He's right there with you. Jesus is a friend because he understands. And fifth, a friend is someone who loves unconditionally. A friend, a true friend, will always forgive. A true friend will always forgive. Now, it doesn't make any difference what you may have had a friend do to you somewhere at some point in time in life. A true friend will forgive. Now, I've had good friends and still have good friends. But we haven't always got along. There have been things that cause problems and we've had disagreements about things. But a true friend, and I don't think any of them hold any grudge against me today, and I know I don't hold any kind of hard feelings towards them. A true friend will forgive. Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, he says that God demonstrates His love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Isn't it a good thing that God hasn't held a grudge? Because Jesus died before we said, "I'm sorry." Jesus paid the penalty for your sins before you ever acknowledged it, before it was ever even committed for all of us. Jesus died while we were still in our sins. He died before you ever even asked for forgiveness, before you ever even needed it. It was there. A number of years ago, when I was at my previous appointment, I had two men in different churches, but two men who were both dead now. Both of them were contemporaries of each other. Both of them about the same age. Both of them grew up in the same community, participated in the same community things in the fire department and different clubs in the community and things like that. Both of them went to the same schools. One told me near the end of his life, basically, that he had no friends. He said, "You know, I can count all the friends I've got on one finger. I don't even need a whole hand to count the friends I have." The other told me how he couldn't count all the friends that he had. Now, what was the difference in these two men's lives? What was the difference that made one man, two men who grew up basically identically, same era, experienced many of the same things, knew the same people, one had no friends, the other had more than he could count? The second man told me the secret, I think. He told me that the reason that he had so many friends, I asked him, I said, "Why do you think you have so many friends?" And he said, "Well, it's simple. To have a friend, you first have to be a friend." That's what the manger was all about. That's why Jesus came, was to first be our friend before we ever sought Him out. God becoming a human being so that we could have a relationship with our Creator. Who is Jesus? He is our friend. He has come, instilling that opportunity for relationship with the Father. Call upon your friend this morning. He will be there. Have a Merry Christmas. And God bless. Let's pray. Father, we do honor You this morning. We honor our friendship, the friendship that You've initiated. We thank You, Father, that You are God. We thank You that through Jesus we have seen the prophet, priest, and kingly functions. But we're also so grateful that You have loved us where we are and who we are. Lord, may this time of year be one where we draw closer to one another and closer to You in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.